Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And once again, this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and it's another week of American Tennis. Every week, we bring you stories from around the country and insights from around the country and interviews from around the country that are going on in American tennis. We need each and every person who's interested in tennis, whether you're a coach, whether you're a parent, whether you're a player, to take notice and to stand up and to speak out about those things you like and about those things you don't like in American tennis. We are on the UR Tennis Network, three shows each week on the UR Tennis Network that you can tune into. First of all, Lisa Stone's Parenting Aces program has been moved to Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, right before J.P. Weber's We Coach Tennis program at noon. Now, J.P. Weber's We Coach Tennis is on the Yellow Ball Network. And I wanted to say that he's got over 2,000 people now on the website or the Facebook site that subscribes to We Coach Tennis. And Lisa Stone's Parenting Aces is not far behind. She's doing great as well. Jason Haynes, the originator of the UR Tennis Network, comes on 2 hours from right now on the UR Tennis Network. And his program is the College Connection, where he interviews his college coaches from around the country. We always remind you that your mission is to stand up and to speak out. Say those things that need to be said. Don't just cling to cliches and facts and the niceties of things that are sort of lukewarm. We ask you to stand up and speak out and just address issues, not people, and nobody can find fault with that. Edmund Burke actually says it's our duty to stand up and speak out. All that it takes for evil to prosper is for good people, good men, to do nothing. Our job is to do something. Lots going on in the world of tennis right now, but lots going on in the sporting arena. If you want to call in, first of all, and to be a on our program or talk to our guest today, call area code 714-583-6853. That's 714-583-6853. Also, go to chuckcreasy.net, and you can listen to every program that we've had over the past 3 years, chuckcreese.net, K-R-I-E-S-E. And I think that's about everything as far as intros before I get into an interview that I've been waiting to have for over 2 months now with Hall of Fame coach Randy Blumendahl. And Coach Blumendahl, I have you on the line. Are you on the line there?
Coach? Yes, I am.
Okay, great. I've got Coach Blumendahl on the line, and this is an interview that I've really been looking forward to having. And for all of you out there, you're going to get some insights today. You know, it really is just meat and potatoes in many ways, but at the same time, the insights that Coach will be able to share with you, you won't be able to get in many other places. From the gut and the heart of a great competitor and a great coach, a whole Hall of Fame coach who's won over 10 conference championships, and in his sport of tennis, he's coached at 3 different institutions. He's been a leader. He's been in the military. He served our country. He is one of the best leaders out there, and I would say on the canvas, if it was on the canvas of a painter, really that understands excellence and what it takes. Coach, you've had some fantastic exclamation points on your career. You know, but the tragedy is that we operate in an arena of mediocrity. And right now we're promoting not just in tennis, but in education as well and in our sports arena. And the sports arena is the arena, Coach, where it is the last bastion of doing those things, setting up the arena for children and youngsters where they learn so much. But we've promoted popularity and participation, and therefore we are not embracing what really we should be embracing. Mediocrity is really been promoted. And Coach, I want to start out by saying that I've seen this happen, started to happen probably 15 years ago, where we started giving participation trophies to youngsters. I could not believe it. A good friend, Dennis Emery, told me that up in Kentucky one summer, at summer school, they were giving pass-fail grades for kids just to get through the course. And another state, I think Florida, started doing some pass-fail things. But I saw things starting to get dumbed down about 10 years ago. So in my teaching, I would be telling young people that, look, it's low-hanging fruit. If you outwork people, if you're the hard worker, you're going to do tremendous. I mean, it's just, it's going to be so easy to be excellent. But here's the catch, Coach. Now I fear not, because the bar of achievement has been lowered to such a standard with the participation trophies and with the pass-fail grades and with the trying to frame everything to look good, that now trying to find out what real achievement is and what real achievement is not is something that is being lost. And I was sitting here watching the bowl games this week. We've got 39 bowl games, and a lot of these teams finished their year 6-6, which, and you know, you've got 3 ducks on a lot of the schedules. You get the, you know, the lower teams that are just gimme wins. So maybe your teams going to bowls have only won 4 games of credit, of notability, and then they go to a bowl game, get a big trophy, and all of those players get rings. So, I mean, I'm very frustrated as a coach. And last week I interviewed a young coach who said to me, Coach Creasy, where do I need to do to really be stretched to the point of excellence? A governor has been put on my engine in every way possible. So, Coach, I don't want to be leading you too much, but I've admired your work for a lot of years, and you are one of the best leaders out there as far as young people are concerned. you get it, and you understand that comfort bears no fruit. So any just opening remarks where I'm going here with this, Coach? And then when
we
get into this, I'm hoping we'll have some calls. And so go ahead.
No, I think this is a great subject. I think, one, I think everybody's starting to see it on the outside. But, two, I don't think everybody fully understands the subtleties where things are getting taken away from us. Pursuing excellence is no longer an option, which sounds crazy. But, how does that happen? And I think that's really what we need to start talking about today. And simply it is, starts with leadership. We have leadership that doesn't fully understand what it takes to be great. And as I listen to you talk, it would be like a tennis player having a dream to win Wimbledon, and then once they get out there, they're told that the warm-up tournament means just as much as the Wimbledon trophy, or and that's about where we're getting. I mean, we've lowered the bar so much that the kids don't even understand what excellence is anymore. As far as leadership goes, what hits me clearly is when we start making all these activities or all these sports activities, after school activities, and that's the way they're leading, failure, and that's what you keep bringing up. Failure's not an option. Well, it's 101 in becoming great in sport. It's 101 in leadership. And if I was a leader, the one thing
like
that
going
I would
to school,
change
or, it's class 101, you're saying. It's like
it's like a
rule
remedial
of the
math.
Playground 101.
You have to allow failure to take place. It's talent code. Read the talent code. If you don't allow failure to take place, then no greatness comes out of that. And if you start making the lines fuzzy between what failure is and what it's not, then the kids don't understand the difference. So it's not the kids. I mean, we're training them to be mediocre champions. And that's why in our great sport of tennis, we haven't seen a champion, a Grand Slam champion on the men's side in years. And it looks like, after the Williams sisters, the same thing could possibly happen on the women's side. But, the being able to fail is so, but it's doing the right things, failing and learning from your mistakes that is so important to becoming great. And if you don't allow that to happen, and we can go into why that's not happening, but if you don't allow that to happen, greatness will never take place. And, you see it over and over and over again. But that's the initial thought that rings in my head. I saw it happen years ago in tennis, and it was pretty disheartening because I think I fell in love with tennis as a sport, not tennis as an after-school activity or resume builder or hey, I played national tournament. It was a sport. It was something that, it had champions. You had to be great to be a Grand Slam champion. And I see that starting to get whittled away at here in the U.S. especially where, we want participation over anything else. Well, I've heard you talk about this and I've heard other leaders talk about participation does not inspire anybody. People are inspired by greatness, not by participation. And greatness will actually breed your participation. So they're looking at it backwards because we have leadership in place that's the way they look at it. When you have people in place that won't allow you to fail, and if you do fail, you get reprimanded for it. And if you do something great, there's not much more to it than if you don't do anything at all. You take away all your innovation, you take away all your greatness out of it. And that's what's happened, and you've talked about it with the cookie cutter thing, just coming up with the system and hoping that the system will. No, that's not where it all comes
from. Instead of the pursuit of excellence,
system.
always say we need incentives. You need challenges in front of kids. You don't need systems.
Yep, that's right. And that the reason they fall into those systems, these leaders that have never played sport, that have never, you know, and just in sport. I actually am hearing in every industry now that I've had the blessing to kind of take a step back and take a look at everything and talk to a lot of leaders in a lot of different industries. They're telling me the same things happening in almost every industry. Everybody's becoming very stagnant for a number, you know, if we go into politics, it's almost the exact same story where you have this leadership that's put in place that is very legal minded, whether it's, you know, whatever, but it's basically not anybody that is allowing somebody to fail and pursue excellence and be innovative. And therefore people are discouraged and they just, they become, at best, mediocre or, mediocre champions. They're rewarded for being mediocre. So, that's not what any of us are inspired by. I know that's not what I was inspired by in sport. We've had a connection over the years, and I think one thing that's always come out in our connection is that we were able to beat the odds at every level. You know, in tennis, over the last few years has consistently tried to put people in a box. And we were able to beat those odds, and, whether it was juniors or whether it was in getting to college and doing what we did or whether it was coaching, we were able to beat that. And I think that's what's great about sport. That's what inspires. And when I read the stories of the great champions, I read the same stories. When I read the stories of somebody that was anointed to be the next guy, those aren't inspiring stories.
Like wild cards.
Yeah.
Let's get wild.
Exactly. Exactly. So that story is being taken out of sport, and there's no, to me, it's very simple why we're not seeing any champions. It has zero to do with talent. Zero to do with talent. There's more than enough talent. And it has zero to do with the kids. We keep pointing the fingers at the kids. We're training the kids. So we have the ability to get out of them what they have inside of them, which is greatness. But if we don't bring that out, then, we're going to get what we get right now. So we have to implement a system where the cream rises to the top. We can't force that to happen. We have to allow that to happen. And failures has to be part of that process.
I put here a note that it just dawned on me this morning as I was preparing for the show. I put, we no longer know the pain of failing. So in not knowing that, so we no longer can learn what the real exhilaration of winning is. Therefore, passion, we're sort of playing inside the lines with our emotions. Yeah. There is no passion that where people know the exhilaration for excellence, nor the pain of losing. It's like the old wide world of sports. Remember Jim McKay? So this Jim McKay,
yeah,
wide world of sports, and it's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And we are so far from that now. And that is what is terrifying to me as a coach,
if you made every decision you made as an after school activity because you didn't understand, I remember early on I was told by an administrator, here's how you do it. And then as in my early 20s, I figured out, well, this guy's talking about, coaching, 12 and under baseball, and he's never even played baseball. After school activities, if you approach everything like that, what people don't understand is this is what it would look like. It would look like this. You'd be watching Florida State and Oregon playing in the semifinals of the football game, and it'd get into the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden the announcers would butt in and they'd say, well, the third string quarterback's going to come in for this quarter because he didn't get all his playing time the game before, and, you know, his parents were a little upset. And how inspired would we be by that? I mean, none of us expect that. But that's, I mean, even in football and basketball, I'm starting to see those sort of things happen. We're laughing about it today. Tomorrow, that sort of thing's going to happen. And we will never have greatness come out of that, never. So, you know, and we have administrators that honestly believe that's the way it should be. And all they know is, well, my daughter's taking karate and everybody gets a turn in karate and we all get belts, you know. And I'm not trying to knock on, you know, what's going on in karate or anything else, because I think there's some great stuff that goes on there. But what I will tell you is you know, it's just this whole, you know, it's my turn, or, you know, I was entitled the right because I paid my fee and nobody earned anything. So, you know, so why stick your neck out? Why be innovative? Why work harder, coach? I work harder and I get the same trophy that you gave that kid because it's all based on participation. So they don't understand the reward system we put in front of them. If we have these same values that are going to take them to the top, they don't understand along the way, nor will they ever. So, you know, to get the cream to rise to the top, it sounds simple, but it's a lot of right decisions made. And then when you mess up and you make a few mistakes, you're still following that philosophy. And part of the process is making the mistakes and learning from it and becoming great out of it.
And so, I'd add into that, coach, it's the pain that you have from the setbacks. The pain is part of the process. The thing that moves
absolutely
a person from mediocrity to excellence is that you hate the pain. And I've always said that you only win to the level that you cannot stand losing down to. And we're taking away the pain from children, so therefore they never can learn what the exhilaration is for winning as well. And it's just a sad, sad scenario. I've got
Just
hang on a minute or two. I'm going to get some more thoughts from Coach here first. Go ahead, Coach.
You know, I think as I hear you say, we don't have to mandate the pain. And I know where you're going with that. I mean, every great athlete's going to go through that if the reward system's right. It's just that we have to separate. There has to be a way where there's a reward system built in for sticking your neck out and going for it and doing the right things and winning. And then, therefore, when you fall short, of sure there's going to be pain. But if there's no difference between going after it and not going after it and you get the same result, yeah, you're going to eliminate that. So, yeah, I agree 100%. I think that what we've done is we've tried to make a very similar experience between and who comes up with this stuff? Well, you put on committees, you know, again, I'm not, but we put on committees people that don't know or understand or have enough years in sport to really get it. You put in people that participation is important to them, you know, whether it's the officials or an administrator of a tournament that hasn't really suffered through these situations. They're the ones that are, yeah, well, it's important, or maybe, you know, monetarily it's important they get X number of kids with the same experience. But that doesn't bring out the greatness.
I've seen this over and over again now in leadership. I don't want to say, but the way to put it is we have false promotions of people. People are promoted who really should not be in leadership positions, whether it looks good on the surface or not. But I see, like in athletics, for example, lots of lawyers are going into that, being the athletic directors of positions, and the commonality, the question that I hear over and over now is, did this person coach before? Were they an athlete before? Were they a player before? And if they haven't been in that arena, it would be like somebody that's been sitting in a classroom of ROTC and they've never been in combat to lead our troops into combat. And even though they maybe have a certain rank or something, and it's not a slam on somebody that's just been in ROTC, but you get where I'm going with that. It'd be like, look, well, Coach, I love music, but it would be like putting me in charge of an opera, the New York Philharmonic Opera, or the, you know, they even put me in charge of some, you know, a band. I'm a band director now, and because I like music, and that's what that's what we've had, and it's a tragedy. You know, so I've got a quick question here. I'm going to see if the caller will bring a question on here. Area code 661-748 there. We got a caller. Would you like to make a comment or add something to this?
Yes.
Coach Randy Blumendahl's on the line today.
Okay. Can I talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. It seems like you have a big mouth. Anyways, I just want to point out pain is both perception and it's tolerance. So it's not an absolute thing. It's a relative pain about, you know, how much of a son of a bitch you are and how much you can't shut the fuck up and let others talk. You just sit there with your big mouth and go, blah, 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 I'm going to conduct the Philharmonic organ, blah, 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 blah. But I think we really need to consider that pain can be acute and chronic. That's all my comment I have to say.
Also, you're a redneck bitch.
Okay.
That
was an interesting one there. We got somebody on their coach that's not in agreement, you know, and stuff. But they probably hit a nerve there of some type. They don't quite understand where we're coming from. I think that you consider the source on comments like that and where they're coming at. What I've been impressed with, what you've done, Coach, at every step of the way is, you know, if you're one thing's been a constant your entire career, it's been the pursuit of excellence and stretching people. I think that as I look back and as you look back, probably you absolutely would say that you want, without a doubt, to remember those people that tried to bring the best out of you, not the people that sort of allowed you to be less than what you are. And, the coaches and the teachers that I had that didn't stretch you really absolutely were never, ever memorable, nor was there anything about them that you'd want to remember.
No, not at all. The thing that keeps hitting me with all that is if you take this out, if you take this formula out, and you allow the way that it's going right now, where is it going? If you remove the pressure, what the current thought process is, you remove the pressure, the cream rises to the top, the talent will come up. But they don't quite understand where the talent comes from. And I think that book, Talent Code, that I referred to earlier, I think that explains a lot of it. And there's been other books written about it. But the repetition, but more than the repetition, it's diving in there and getting this in understanding of what you're doing. And to do that, pain is part of the process. And you have to really, really put hours and hours and hours of this deep thought, deep practice into what you're trying to do. And, you know, if we do it another way, it just doesn't, you know, we can frame it different ways. You know, you can market it different ways, but it doesn't really inspire people on the same level, nor does it bring out greatness in people.
It really doesn't. I mean, I'm sitting here and anybody's listening to this show or saying, what in the world was that call in? Obviously, I didn't screen the call, and but I'm saying there's somebody there had an axe to grind either with me or with you or with something.
Yeah.
But here is the thing that I would say, never have I ever heard you say bad things to a degree about somebody that's harmed you or hurt you, taking the high road. And I'm going to say it here so that everybody out there listening understands this. About a month and a half or 2 months ago, when I think one of the atrocities, happened, in our tennis world, with your situation. I asked you one day, about 2 days into it, you called and you said, you know what, I need to pray about this, and I need to make sure that I don't ever lower myself to a standard where I think bad things, want to hurt others, want to, because you have tremendous leverage in a position of leadership that you've had, where you could really hurt other individuals. But you said, if I go there, if I even go there, then I basically become like these other people that are not seeing the excellence or what could be. Then you basically took the high road on the thing, So anyhow, I got to digest that phone call that we had there, Coach.
I got a phone call the other day from a friend that coaches in another sport, and she was let go, and she's in one of the major conferences, and she said, the thing that hit her clearly was, there was over 20-some administrators, upper-level administrators within that department. And she said, I don't think, she said, I did the research. Not one of them had played Division I athletics or coached at a Division I level. So, it's not of any fault of theirs that they're making these type of decisions. They're doing the best job they can do. I'm not sure why they're being put in these positions. I know a lot of it has to do with public perception, and everybody wants everything to sound right and feel right, and we're about political correctness, and this guy's on you. He calls in, he's on you about how he doesn't like the way you word things or whatever. So you're a redneck or whatever that means. But, we're in a day and time where I think everybody, wants everything to be perfect. And that has, there's not ever going to be any innovation that comes out of that. People are going to make mistakes. We have to have leaders that are put in those positions. I used to think it was great when you had these old, retired football coaches, because they understood the process, they got it.
Maybe they didn't understand
every detail of the business. Yeah.
They didn't understand the tennis, but they understood sports, and they understood the struggle, and they understood Tom Landry's thing that the key to coaching is to get people to do things they don't want to do in order to have things they want to have. And, that's what you're trying to do. And you don't respect people. You do not respect people that do not try to bring the best out of you. But there was always respect enough for the position of authority to where you said, okay, this person, they're in charge. They've got to do the right thing. They've got to go forward here, and we'll see the whole picture here a little later. I mean, can you imagine that guy that called it, whoever that was? I mean, it's laughable. You think, is that something he'd want to play to his children or his grandchildren, someday? Hey, that's what I want to teach my kids. I mean, if that guy was over 18 and called that in, I mean, he should be thinking, that guy could have been off into war. Our greatest generation, we took 18-year-old guys and sent them off to war. But it's just really where we're at. And but the leadership, the false promotions are promoting people into positions for basically for comfort and for not, for that don't understand the arena. It's just amazing.
Well, we're in it. We're in a time and where we're being mandated, and you've got rules galore on within the NCAA. I think it's just on and on and on where you just make it where people don't feel like they can make a mistake. And what do? They try to put somebody in position where if mistakes are made, then the public perception will be that they're doing the right thing. But it's really they're leading the wrong way, but it looks like they're doing the right thing. So but it's not really their problem. They're doing what they were put in position to do.
Right.
But public perception has been,
if I was a band director, yep, I'd be doing the best I could and everything.
That's right.
Like that. But the it's not my problem if I was put in the band director position because I like music,
yep.
I think that's probably the best example. We have millions of people that enjoy music, but most people understand it's unless you walk the walk, you cannot try to talk the talk. Sports, for whatever reason, we've put people into leadership positions that really can't walk the walk, talk the talk, just because they just haven't done their coach. We got to go to a quick commercial. We'll be right back with American Tennis. This is Coach Chuck Creason.
All right.
Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
American Tennis, making them in America, and Coach Blumenthal. I'm sitting here just thinking about this, laughing that first of all, somebody who knew some sports. This guy that called in had to know a little bit about sports, or maybe were they in tennis or were they in some other sport? You wonder about it, and I'm just thinking. Point made. I mean, that's where we're at, huh? Is that not with everybody, I guess. And I'm in an arena right now where I'm very, very proud to be. What I love about the arena that I'm in, Coach, is that you do not go forward unless you have your rites of passage that you do. You have to do certain things to move forward. And excellence is not just done, by the presumption of excellence or with you have to physically do it, you mentally do it, you emotionally do it, you have to be all in. And
absolutely,
I love it. I love it. I do not think I could coach in an arena that does not promote its entire person to pursue excellence with their every fiber of their being. You know, so. Coach, let me ask you. Okay, so here's where we're at. We've sort of set the table. Where do we go? What? How do we solve this thing? I mean, maybe you could talk a little bit about the talent code and what that great book, Stephen Coyle's book, what they say there. But what's our next step? What do we do to solve this problem? Where do we go?
I'll promote another book that I was on the phone for few hours with I think a great leader. I won't mention his name right now, but he wanted me to read this book, and what an inspiring book it is. And he has a YouTube video on TEDx and Simon Sinek's Start with Why. What a great book.
That's the name of the book, Simon Sinek, and
Start with Why. Yeah, and I think everybody that wants to, you know, get into leadership should read this. I think it's a very simple way of looking at leadership. But what happens is you start realizing that if you don't really, if you're not grounded in what you're trying to do, the whys of what you're doing, that you start operating the opposite of what really makes you and others around you passionate. And so you have to fully define your cause. And are you going to get people that attack you? Absolutely. But you also get people that want to join in and go after what you're going after. And greatness will come out of that. Or it either will or won't. And, you know, but you'll be true to yourself and you'll be passionate about how you do your life and what you go after in your life. And you'll attract people around you that want to do similar things. And I think that's what we're kind of getting at is, you know, my vision is, you know, I would like to see tennis be a sport. And people are, hey, isn't it a sport? You know, it's in college athletics.
No, it's absolutely.
We dropped 400 programs. Go into this, and I don't want to
continually go into that.
But we're
look at high school tennis where we're at. We have 350,000 participants. But would you call high school tennis a sport or an after-school activity? And this is tragic. But here, I just had something you were talking about the what he said, how some people don't understand this. But basically, hard work puts a mirror in front of somebody. Pain puts a mirror in front of somebody. And what we hate to see a lot of times is the true mirror. I mean, I don't know. Even the mirrors are fake. They're like the mirrors that we look in now are like carnival show mirrors that really don't show you being way overweight or something. And then you look at a picture of yourself, you go, whoa, I didn't know I looked that heavy.
But we learn to appreciate that. We learn to appreciate it. It takes time. It takes the right mentors around us. If we don't have the right mentors that teach us those are things of value, we don't understand what that really is, because then we get emotional and it becomes who we are and we lash out at people about it. But yeah, you one way or another, you grow into understanding that, whoa, that was really good. And that process was really leading somewhere. But as you go through it, sometimes the emotions make you feel like that it isn't good. And the person that maybe is putting you in those positions or stretching you is bad. And it takes mentors and people around you to understand what that really is all about. So, go ahead.
Coach, I got to throw this in. I keep thinking about how our standards of values and morals have been dumbed down so much. I mean, but what these absolutes that you're talking about the hard work and about doing the right thing, These are mirrors, but they do not validate our deviance that is in within all people. If we don't have a good mirror around us, a good mentor around us to tell us the truth, if you don't have a good coach telling you the truth on things, you basically are looking for validation of your lack of excellence. You're looking for validation of mediocrity. And good coaches, good teachers will not validate deviance. They will not validate bad actions. They will not validate being less than you can possibly do. But that's what we're doing in these dumbed-down systems, is we are validating things that are less than excellent. You know, and
yes.
You know, so it's that's what it is. And the guy that called in today, you know, obviously we must have hit a nerve somewhere, and because we're talking, but that's what a coach does. That's what a good parent does. When a parent disciplines a person, when a teacher disciplines someone, when you call for somebody's excellence, you speak to the king or the queen in the person, you're saying, I will not validate your mediocrity. I will not validate your deviance. I will not validate you being less than you can possibly be. And this is a hard thing, but the breakdown has happened exactly in our leadership. In our leadership, if we have people in these positions, there's nothing more pathetic than small people in big positions. There's nothing worse than someone in leadership who will validate less than somebody can be. I mean, we need Kennedys in leadership to say, we're going to go to the moon. We're going to go to the moon in 9 years, and we did it. We need coaches say, we're going after this, and we're going to suffer, but in the end, you're all going to understand it. Go ahead, coach.
Well, just make it more simple for the viewer, and I think those are great thoughts. Make it simple. Why do coaches coach? Why do coaches coach? And come up with a one-sentence answer. Why do teachers teach? And it becomes very simple at that point. You start going, oh, wow, that's what it's all. Now, if that changes or you take them out of your system, what have you done to the youth of the world? I mean, you've removed the very thing that's going to be the tool to bring out the greatness in them. It's not the only thing, but it's one thing that's going to be a tool to do that. And they're not doing it on purpose. It's just when they start thinking of it a different way, the process a different way, because they've been put in these positions, they've made teachers, they've made coaches a commodity. And when you become a commodity, that makes you start thinking differently. You have to really dig deep to figure out, well, why am I doing what I'm doing? And we do it to bring out excellence, to pursue excellence. We do it to teach because we see what's inside of these young men and women. So, you know, that's what we're kind of getting into as we talk about, well, you know, what is going on here? And if you start treating every sport like an after-school activity, and the coaches are commodities and the teachers are commodities, what's going to come about is mediocrity. And that's what we've seen. And in our sport, the sport we love, the sport we fell in love with, tennis, among other sports, because I know, same with you, we played a lot of sports growing up. But, you know, we've seen it for years. And then they do these promotions where they, you know, hey, this is the anointed one. This is going to be, and then it turns into nothing, and they point fingers at the kid. Well, that's a bad kid. Well, it's not. You didn't allow the cream to rise to the top. You're not going to be the one that anoints them. You're going to see the greatness, and they're going to make the decisions as they look into the mirror and face the pain and face the other things that they have to face, whether they can go through it. But the reward system, the incentives have to be greater than what's being taken away or what the guy next to him that's not going through it is doing. It has to be greater than, you know, just participating. So,
yeah.
You know,
it sounds so simple.
It sounds simple, but that's exactly what we're doing.
But yeah, we're hitting on something here. I've got a caller 678. I think I recognize this number, so I don't think we're going to get the adverse call that we had before. But I heard once that in today's world, we're framing the fame, we're fixing the blame. In the end, it just makes our best athletes lame.
Yeah, and how were we raised? The squeaky wheel, what happened with the squeaky fence? What happened with the gate? What happened with the squeaky gate? Tell the story. I mean we were raised a different way, and these kids still can be raised the same way, but that's, you know, we weren't taught that, hey, if you just, you know, if you blame somebody else, that, you know, that's where you're going to separate yourself. No, we were taught, hey, you'll get removed, you'll get taken out of the game, you get kicked off the team. You know, you have to figure it out. You have to look in the mirror and figure it out at the end of the day. I mean, almost like we could write a remedial coaching book. A lot of them have been written already. It's just ignored at this point because that's not how maybe you survive.
Well, it's not comfortable to be called out when you're doing wrong. It's not comfortable to have to look in the mirror and say, wow, that's an accurate mirror. It's not comfortable to have your mother, father, coach, loved one, a boss call you out and say, look, you're expected to do better than this. It's not comfortable to really, the truth is not comfortable all the time. And again, the pain of that in itself, you have to make a decision. Do I want to change or do I want to stay the same? So we're really, really in trouble if we don't really, I don't know, we've got to get this turned around. I want to talk with you a second here on who we start with and where we go with trying to turn it around. I'm going to bring in a caller, area code 678-467. I think that might be Coach Weber. Is that you, Coach Weber?
Hello.
Yeah, we've got Coach Randy Blumenthal on the line, and I know you're going to want him on the line. Your show, well, this is Coach J.P. Weber. We Coach Tennis program, We Coach Tennis website, We Coach Tennis Facebook, and I've got the hats off to you, Coach, for you calling it the way it is and really standing up for those things that allow the cream to rise in our young people, you know, now. So what have you got to say today to Coach Blumenthal?
Oh, geez, I'm listening to you guys. I just spent 4 hours meeting with the USTA. I had can you hear me okay? Am I coming through?
Yeah, you're on good. You're on well. We can hear you.
It's tough. They are good. Look, they're made up of good people. It's a good thing. The USTA, it's a good thing, I guess, all these things. But so much of this stuff is institutionalized that we're gonna have to be patient and chip back away at it one piece at a time, I think. It's not something that's going to change again overnight. It didn't get this way in a short period. It's evolved to this over a long period. And some of these things are very entrenched in the way in which this sport is being administered. All the stuff that you guys are talking, I missed the, you had a guy that disagreed with you.
Oh, we had to, go back and listen to it. He just blasted us. And there was,
he blasted you pretty good, huh?
Oh, yeah. So it's okay. He's allowed this in America. You're allowed your position. And,
hey, look, I would love to have somebody call into the We Coach Tennis show that disagreed. I think that's great that y'all got somebody disagreeing with you a little bit. I think there's probably room for, like you said, just America. There's room for that.
It's America. You bring up one thing, Coach Blumenthal. I'll put Coach Weber on hold here for a second. Coach Blumenthal, he says something, you know, we got to chip away. But here's what I am afraid of. Human nature is to probably be lazy or hardworking. Which one, Coach? Which is human nature? Huh?
Lazy, I imagine.
Be lazy, okay. Do the right thing or do the wrong thing. Satisfy our senses. Do what they teach you in church or do what everybody... What's human nature, Coach? To do the... I mean, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Human nature
is not
to take the tough route. Human nature is to find the shortcuts. Human nature is to go against what's taught you in church. Go against what's taught you by parents. Go against what's taught you. It is not human nature to be tough. You have to learn how to be tough. You have to learn how to be trained. And as long as we just keep feeding into, is everybody comfortable? Is everybody having a good time? Is everybody feel good? As long as we just feed into this, we're dead in the water. We've got to, we need some champions out there that say this is the way to do it. I mean, I don't want to be a pessimist, but is it going to be, can we just do what Coach Weber says and chip away? Yeah, these are good people in bureaucracies.
Well,
and bureaucracies.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Stretch.
And what,
still, Coach.
Well, what example do we have out there where in a, you know, a large organization or bureaucracy where it's been innovative, it's been able to change, it's been able to be free-flowing? You know, there's a reason why that, you know, we have laws set up where monopolies can't take over in any industry. And, you know, it's not the people. Yeah, there's some really good people, I'm sure. But there's reasons why, and that's a whole nother show, why the bureaucracy cannot, is not going to go along the routes that's going to create great or allow greatness or allow the cream to rise to the top. And it will never have, you can chip away all you want. It's not going to happen that way. If you do away with trying to control every piece of what's going on and you allow tennis to kind of be innovative and entrepreneurial again and really, then, yeah, then we have a chance. And when was it great? Before all this bureaucracy started trying to control it. In our country, that's when it was
really
great.
It really was. So, if you look at it, it was 87. And, Jack, you know, I've heard a lot of coaches say that 87, when they tried to start controlling the, who the champions would be, who the wild cards would go to, who would be promoted, who would not, I mean, it was completely free enterprise until 87. I've got Coach Weber back on there. Coach Weber, any
thoughts?
Can I
give you an
there?
Example? Let me try and give you all an example. An area where they're complete, they have complete and total failure is adult tennis. Adult tournament tennis, I don't know what it's like for you up there, Coach Blumenthal and Coach Greasy,
yep,
where you are in Charleston, it's dead.
Yep.
It's gone.
Yes,
it used
absolutely.
To be when I was a kid, you guys, you know, as kids, we played adult tournaments and the adults were out playing. You had these seniors that, you know, they really took pride in their ranking and they played the 30s, the 35s, the 40s. All that stuff happened. It's dead now. So I went to him today and I said, look, guys, let's try it. Why don't you take the gloves off on that stuff? Let these entrepreneurs, these tournament directors, or these coaches, or these, whoever they are, let us try to recover that for you. Take the gloves off. Don't put the rules on us. And
absolutely,
let us try to start and bring back tournaments. And it was very difficult for them to understand. It was like I was speaking French or something. What do you mean? We can't do that.
Okay, what did
so when I say gradual,
hey,
Jay,
what? JP,
I
had the same thought. I'm down in Florida right now, and I've been to a bunch of academies down here, and there's these softball fields, and I've seen, I mean, from 9 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night, I've seen these older men playing softball. I'm like, these are all the guys that used to play tournaments. You know, what are they doing playing softball? It's not very, I mean, softball's not exciting. I played before. I mean, you get bored. And I'm not, you know, again, you know, it's got its own niche, but there shouldn't be loads of you know, these. Yeah, I mean, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, why aren't they out playing tennis tournaments? And it's that whole concept in my mind of sport.
And here's the thing. They have control now of it. See, it's very difficult for people once they gain control of something.
To give up control. Guys, I'm going to get cut off the air, but we can continue. We're going to continue with our recorded show here for a few minutes because I really want to get the thoughts in here. But those of you listening to this live today, you're going to have to go to the recorded version. We'll be cut off in a few minutes. But go right there. Go back to that thought, okay? Because, yeah, those are all the guys, the softball guys. I'm getting ready. I'm going to go out and play golf. Because I want to be free on that golf course. I want to have that Tom Sawyer experience right around in the golf cart and hitting, following a ball around, as crummy as I am at that. But we're losing.
Yeah.
These guys don't play tennis.
Yeah. No, and, you know, it open it up, let people get innovative, let them build their events. It's the same stuff. And, hey, will this help junior tennis? Absolutely. Let juniors play these. I mean, like JP was saying, I mean, but if you mandate all this stuff, I mean, it just has to work. It's not that their hearts aren't in the right place. It's they get pulled in the wrong direction. They can't go with what it's going to take to continue to make these things innovative. So, you know,
go ahead. I just created here, I don't know if Coach mentioned it at all, but I'm kind of proud of it. We created the Marietta Tennis Association, and it's been a 4-year deal, and we got 501c3 status. So what that means is we're exempt from all taxes. Well, that means if you give us a donation, and if any of your listeners, Coach, want to give a donation, they can, but a little plug there. But if they give a donation,
TennisDynamics.com, correct?
.net, but at any rate...
Okay, hang on a minute. Let me get this. TennisDynamics.net, folks, send in, and this is a completely independent, enterprising, out-of-the-box...
Yeah, it's independent of Tennis Dynamics. It's Marietta Tennis Association, and what we will do with that is we're going to look to help children and the cost that they incur, some of them, you know, that need it. And we'll look at it on a case-by-case basis of who might need it. But one of the very first things we would try to do would be to help give assistance to kids, maybe with lessons and maybe doing this and doing that. Well, so I said to the guys, I said, we've got a new CTA. And as I'm parting with the guy, he says, well, you know, you got to fulfill. There's like 30 criteria that you got to fulfill. They got all these rules. It's the federal government. It passed the federal government scrutiny, but now they've got, you know, you got to have these 30 other things that the USTA wants. And that's sort of the way they've done with their tournaments now. The tournaments have been cooked and sterilized to the point that nobody wants to play them. So I told the guy when I was leaving, I told him, this is some of the top guys in Georgia. I said, you know, guys, the proof's in the pudding on a lot of this stuff. It's the numbers are going down everywhere. And the way you guys are controlling things isn't working. If that doesn't hit you in the head like a 2x4, I don't know what is going to hit you.
Hey, Coach, you go to these meetings and you listen to these people talk and, you know, what is important to them. I was starting to think in my head, start plugging in the past men's champions in the U.S. I don't even know if they've played tournaments. I mean, they wouldn't be allowed to play these tournaments. I mean, they would lose their temper, and these personalities have to be able to rise through all this stuff. And no man wants to play a sterile tournament that's been mandated.
No.
I mean, it's a joke. I mean, they want to go out.
Listen, I got a good story, and then we got to go here in a second. And Coach, I want to have you back on. And Coach Weber, will you have Coach Blumenthal on this next week on your program? I'm going to set it up here for you, Coach Weber.
Well, that or if Coach Blumenthal would like to have his own radio show, I got a spot on my network.
Okay.
He's great.
Okay.
There you go.
Right. Hey, listen, I got a good one. My wife this morning, I was getting ready to go play golf, and she said to me, when's the last time you went and played tennis? I took my daughter over to play tennis this morning. And I said, it's been a while, honey. And he says, well, why? He says, do you remember that tournament that my friend Mike Springermeyer and I went to play in Myrtle Beach? We just won the Iowa State 50s and over or something like that. We won a tournament. And so I was fired up. I was saying, oh, my golly, I can maybe get back into competition here. And I went over to play this tournament in Myrtle Beach, and it was so sterile and so rigid. And so I was in there, I was ready for a few chest butts or head butts. Hey, guys, how you doing? What's going on here? You know, let's go to battle. Instead, I got this atmosphere of, have you checked in? Have you paid this? Have you done this? Have you done that? Whoa, wait a minute. It's my weekend off, guys. I didn't come here to get more uptight. And so, I mean, that was just maybe the thing. Coach Blumenthal, it's been a pleasure. I'll give you the last word here, Coach Blumenthal, and then I gotta go. So, it's been a pleasure to have you on, Coach. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much. I just think that we need to define our causes in and gain momentum that way, and you know, greatness will come out of that, and fight back for what's great in sport. Fight back for it, because it's being taken away, and some people it's very, you know, they're very aware of it, and others they don't see it. But we need to fight back for that, and we've got to get together with our causes.
Yep. Coach, what you said is so good about let's make it once again a sport, not an activity, an after school activity.
Made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, a King James and Uncle Sam. He's got the red, white, blue, fine high on the farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back of this USA. Won't buy nothing that he can't fix. With WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench, he ain't president. He's just made in America.
Process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with a win or a loss. And thank you, Coach Randy Blumendahl. God bless you for the work you do and continue to do with young people. One of the best leaders out there. And folks, this is we're on track if we can start to turn some of this around. Comfort bears no fruit, and every young person will be proud later and come back and be thankful if we stretch them to their maximum. But if we don't, they will always be bitter and resentful toward a teacher that does not try to get the best out of them. So God bless you. We will talk to you next week on American Tennis.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.